Our study this evening will be from Joshua chapter number 4, but I'd like us to begin in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If you'll take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Deuteronomy 6. As you're turning to Deuteronomy 6, let me remind you of the context of our study from the book of Joshua. God has delivered Israel from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground into the border of the Promised Land. There Moses sent 12 spies into the land, but they returned with a mixed message. You see, 10 were bad. Only 2 were good. Only Joshua and Caleb had the faith and the courage to follow God forward and claim the land as God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The other 10 spies feared those in the land and warned of certain defeat should Israel go forward. Consequently, Israel turned back and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Yet God in His goodness sustained Israel and raised up Joshua to succeed Moses and lead them into the promised land. But before Moses died, he said this to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, man has the propensity to forget. Sometimes we forget trivial matters like someone's name or perhaps where we left the car keys or the day of our wedding anniversary. No, that's not a trivial matter. Sometimes we forget the important matters that are critical to our well-being going forward, like when to take our medication or the day of our wedding anniversary. Someone has said the greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. And sometimes we forget the goodness of God in our lives, and consequently we fear the future and we flounder in the present. And we follow after other gods. And for that very reason, God had Israel establish a memorial in Joshua chapter 4. Rocks of remembrance, I'm going to call them this evening, the title of my message, so that Israel might not forget but remember God's goodness to them. To Joshua chapter number 4 now, our text this evening, Joshua 4, a message I've prepared titled, Rocks of Remembrance. I'd like to read the chapter in its entirety, if you will follow as I read from Joshua 4. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people, and the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war, crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan." Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land.' For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Let's pray. Father, we've assembled again this evening to study your word. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit might instruct us as we reflect on the very important circumstances here from Joshua chapter 4. God, I pray that we might not err as Israel did so often in their history, forgetting the works that you had done among them. I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight and understanding just now. I pray, Lord, that we might go from this place different than when we came because of our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter number 3 took place on the east side of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 4 took place on the west side of the Jordan River. There on the west side of the Jordan River, God commanded Joshua to have 12 men take 12 stones and erect a memorial. Now, if you were following carefully as I read the narrative, you might have caught a technical problem in our text. Clearly, the 12 men were to take 12 stones from the Jordan's riverbed, verse number 3. And assemble a memorial on the west side of the Jordan River where they lodged, namely at Gilgal, verse number 20. However, verse 9 suggests that Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. Does that mean that there are actually two memorials that are being built in Joshua chapter 4, one on the west bank of the Jordan at Gilgal, and one in the middle of the Jordan where the priests stood? There is a dispute in the reconciling of verse number 3 and verse number 9. Bible commentator James Montgomery Boyce argues that there was actually only one memorial. And Boyce makes his case for these three reasons. First, James Montgomery Boyce suggests that God's command to Joshua concerns one memorial, not two memorials. It was most likely in this case that Joshua would obey the specific command of God and not alter it or add to it. Boyce also cites the New International Version, the NIV, which translates verse number 9 with the words "had been." If you're looking at verse number 9, the NIV reads, "Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood." In essence, the NIV says that the 12 stones were relocated out of the Jordan, so that verse 9 is mistranslated in other Bible versions. For what happened to the stones that were taken up from the Jordan were transplanted to the west side of the Jordan. This is not an additional collection of stones that were set up in the midst of the Jordan. And then Boyce thirdly cites verse 20. in that the stones are said to have been set up at Gilgal exclusively. But in either case, whether you're convinced that there was one memorial on the west side of the Jordan at Gilgal, or whether you believe there were two memorials, one on the west side of the Jordan at Gilgal and in the middle of the Jordan, the point of the memorial as prescribed by God is the same. The people needed a remembrance. That's number one in my notes, remembering what God had done. The end of verse number 7 is clear. These stones shall be for a memorial, verse number 7, whether there's one pile of stones or two piles of stones. And we understand the purpose for a memorial to help us remember something that is important. In fact, we have many memorials today. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you've certainly visited the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, maybe the Jefferson Memorial or the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Upon the death of a loved one, we hold a memorial service in which we remember that one loved one. We also have a national holiday called Memorial Day when we remind ourselves of those who have given their lives to secure our freedoms in this country. We understand the idea, the notion of a memorial. In a similar way, Israel was to build a memorial of 12 stones signifying the 12 tribes of Israel as a reminder to remember what God had done. More specifically, I submit that these stones, or these rocks of remembrance, I'm calling them this evening, were for the benefit of three groups of people. They are subpoints A, B, and C in your notes. First, these 12 stones were to be a reminder for themselves. A reminder for themselves. Verse number 6 says that the stones would be a sign among you. Verse 6. It's as if the stones would speak, saying, keep a clear memory of what God did for you. Don't ever lose your sense of awe and wonder of what God has done in your life. Let these stones be a reminder for you. And whether we realize it or not, all of the memorials in our lives are not monuments of stone necessarily, but they are monuments of memories that remind us. They remind us of a few things. For instance, we have memories of places. There are places that elicit memories in our minds and hearts. Perhaps it's your childhood home. Perhaps it's the summer Bible camp you attended as a youth where you were saved or perhaps surrendered your life to the Lord, made important decisions. Perhaps it's the old schoolhouse. Just a moment ago, I mentioned Washington, D.C., and if you've ever been there, your mind certainly traveled back to that important place. I remember as a teenager, getting a private tour of the West Wing of the White House and the Oval Office by a Secret Service agent that was a friend of our family. George Bush Sr. was in office at the time, and I remember walking into the Oval Office and looking there at his desk. There were 5 books on his desk. And I don't remember the names or the titles of 4 of those books, but I remember looking at the spine of that one book, and it said, Holy Bible. And I remember standing there in the Oval Office as a teenager. I think of the Grand Canyon. To many of you, perhaps the Grand Canyon is a big hole in the ground. To me, the Grand Canyon is the place where I asked my wife to marry me. Have I ever told you that story? Do you want to hear that story again? It's a great story. When I see pictures of the Grand Canyon or think of that place, I think of the day when my wife said, yes, I will marry you. So we have memories of places. We also have memories of people. On occasion, I'm reminded of somebody in my past, a teacher, a coach, a friend. On occasion, I enjoy a reunion with an old college buddy, and we might remind each other of old friends, other people. Of course, we now have Facebook to help us remember. I think we have 1,000 friends. I don't know how anyone can have 1,000 friends, but we have 1,000 people who have agreed to be our Facebook friends, and there are different circumstances that help us to remember and remind us of our acquaintances with those people. I remember my maternal great-grandfather. In fact, this very afternoon, my wife and I were sorting through some old books, and we came across his memoirs, an unpublished autobiography that my great-grandfather had written about his life. And I remember as a boy sitting at his knee and hearing him tell stories of his chicken farm. We have memories of places. We have memories of people. We also have memories of experiences. Have you ever swam in the, or swum? Have you ever in the ocean? However that's to be said. Have you ever been fired from a job? Have you ever been repelling? Have you ever been in the hospital? Have you ever been lost in the woods? Are there experiences that you remember? I had an experience that I will never forget. It was during the 1995-1996 year that I traveled on a drama team from Northland Baptist Bible College. We were in 100 different churches and Christian schools presenting two different drama presentations. And in fact, I remember our drama team going to Old Fourth, downtown Minneapolis. And I remember presenting our ministry there. On one occasion, however, I remember that I was so sick, I knew I couldn't make it through the service. But the show had to go on. There were only 8 of us. So we took a trash can out of the church office and we hid it behind our curtain. I remember we were at a local church in Colorado and we placed that trash can behind our curtain there. And during the middle of our 50-minute drama presentation, I walked off the stage behind the curtain and I proceeded there to lose my lunch in that trash can, wipe my mouth, and step back out on the platform and finish the presentation. It's an experience I will never forget. And I don't think you'll ever forget that either, will you now? Great mental picture that I've provided for you. There are good experiences, much different than that experience. I remember when each of our children were born. I remember weeping like a baby. And there we held the new infant and we prayed and gave each of our children back to the Lord. But whether it's places, or whether it's people, or whether it's experiences, we keep mementos to remind us of those places and those people and those experiences. I have items in my office that remind me of the overseas mission trips that I've taken. And my family has, listen to this, 25,000 digital pictures. 25,000 digital pictures on our computer that we've collected over the last 10 years as a family. And some of those pictures include you, believe it or not. And so it's with these memorials that we remember. It's with these memorial stones that Israel was to remember what God had done for them. It was a reminder for themselves, but letter B, it was a record for their children. It was to be a record for their children. And if you will look at the text again with me, verses 6 and 7. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Jump to verse 21. I know we already read it. Verse 21, then he spoke to the children of Israel saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is to be a record for their children. And as with other memorials in the Old Testament, and as with memorials today, the intention of a memorial was to provoke questions for future generations, giving us the opportunity to explain what had previously taken place. Unfortunately, our country today is losing its memorials, literally. The Ten Commandment memorials are being removed from the public view. The nativity scene memorials are being removed from the public view. History is being rewritten. We call it revisionist history to eliminate any Christian heritage that is present among us, to remove any suggestion that providence or God, if you will, had any dealings among us. And for that reason, I'm grateful for the Christian curriculum at Fourth Baptist Christian School, for it preserves that heritage. We are losing that heritage for our children. If we went back and read Deuteronomy 6, we would see the wisdom of Moses' caution. For without repeatedly sharing our faith with our children and telling them of what God has done for us, Moses warned, they will go after other gods. Deuteronomy 6. In fact, I would suggest to you folks that our children, your grandchildren perhaps, are not apostatizing because they are forgetting the Word of God. They're forgetting the works of God. They've memorized all the Bible verses. They know the Word of God. But they forget the works of God. The greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. I would recommend to you, as I have previously, that you keep a family journal. I'm not a good journaler, but perhaps you could call it a works of God journal where you can record what God has done in your family. We have one. We've done a very poor job of keeping that current and writing in it, but someday more valuable than any earthly inheritance that you can leave for your children or your grandchildren, you could leave to them the memoirs, a memorial of the things that God has done in your life. And there's one other audience that needed a reminder of what God had done for Israel beyond reminding themselves, letter A, beyond a record for their children, letter B. Letter C, I'm finding in verse 24. Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I suggest it's a reference for the lost world, letter C. A reference for the lost world that all the peoples of the earth might know is the phrase in verse 24. And that is so similar to Jesus' prayer in John 17:23. His desire was that the world may know that he was the Messiah. You see, it has been God's plan to reveal himself to mankind, and the crossing of the Jordan River was not only a stirring event for Israel, but it was a terrifying event for all the people living in the land of Canaan. And the miracle at the Jordan and the subsequent memorial that was built would be a reference point for a lost world to be reminded of what God had done in that place. Let me ask you this evening, is there anything in your life that can serve as a monument to the providential or the miraculous working of God in your life? Is there anything in your life that you can point to or others can point to and acknowledge the goodness and the graciousness and the greatness of God? When the world looks at your life, do they see anything that would testify that the hand of the Lord has been upon you? And when the world looks at your life, does the world fear the Lord because of what he has done in your life? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I've lived quite the ordinary life. No special events in my life. Or you say, Pastor, I can't think of anything right now. That's the problem. Because we forget the things that God has done. Remembering what God has done, a reminder for themselves, a record for their children, a reference for the lost world. Secondly, beyond this being simply remembering what God had done, I suggest that the 12 stones that were piled in a heap were a renewing of personal commitment. Number two, a renewing of personal commitment. And let me reread verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that's 12, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Now, I have already explained to you the position of some. The position of some is that there was only one memorial of 12 stones erected on the west side of the Jordan River at Gilgal. However, if you read verses 8 and 9, if you reread verses 8 and 9, it certainly appears that Joshua has established a second memorial in the midst of the Jordan that was not relocated to the west bank of Gilgal. For it says they are there to this day. And there is a lot of gymnastics we could do with the structure of this Hebrew narrative and understanding the cyclical and the repetitive sequence of what's established here. But what if, in fact, there are two memorials built in Joshua chapter 4? If we would accept that Joshua also built one in the midst of the Jordan River of his own initiative, I would suggest it expresses his own desire to personally remember what God had done for him. I don't want to make more of the text than is here or meant in the text, but I would see this as a second point of devotion. In that the 12 stones in Gilgal were a matter of public devotion, Joshua's 12 stones, verse number 9, is a matter of private devotion. This is a personal memorial in addition to the corporate memorial. Let me give you an illustration from my own life. It was during the summer after my 8th grade year that I surrendered my life to the Lord to full-time Christian service while a camper at the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina. And at the time, the camp had the campers who had made such decisions toss a stick into the fire in the spirit of Romans 12:1, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to God. It's not a big deal. It's a camp thing. Kumbaya. But I remember on that occasion tossing a stick into the fire. To this day, when building a campfire and tossing sticks into the campfire, I'm reminded of that day. It's a personal thing. There's no magic in it, but there's memory in that. And perhaps Joshua here built his own memorial in the Jordan River for his own sake, so that he would not forget what God had done for him personally. And so that he there at that memorial, or that wet altar, if you will, that he could recommit himself to following the Lord in faith as they faced Jericho in the near future. What had God done for Joshua? Well, God allowed Joshua to enter the promised land. What a thrill. What a privilege. But then as a leader with fear and trepidation, as a leader, verse number 14. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. And I would suggest, if you'll allow me a little bit of sanctified imagination and a little bit of license here, that perhaps Joshua did erect his own private memorial there in the midst of the Jordan River as a point of renewing personal commitment. Verses 19 and 20. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east side of Jericho, on the west side of the Jordan, on the east side of Jericho, between the Jordan and Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. I'm going to call this number 3, rolling away past defeats. Now, don't put your things away just yet. Allow me to defend this suggestion. Up to this point, we only knew that the crossing took place at the flood stage of the Jordan, chapter 3, verse 15. That is in the spring. It's the spring harvest, the spring floods. But here in chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, the text is more specific. We learn that this happened on the 10th day of the first month. Now, what is the significance of the 10th day of the first month? Well, that very same date appears in Exodus 12, verses 2 and 3. You might want to jot it in your margin. Exodus 12, 2 and 3, where Israel began preparations for the Passover. The Passover, which occurs on the 14th day of the first month, according to Leviticus 23, verse number 5. You might remember that special day, Nisan 14, the 14th day of the first month from our recent midweek series on the Feast of Israel. What we have in Joshua chapter 4 is 40 years to the day, also jot Deuteronomy 1 verse number 3, it is 40 years to the day since Israel prepared to march out of Egypt. And here again, 40 years later, they are preparing for the Passover celebration at Gilgal in Joshua chapter 5. It is also significant that Israel left the edge of the water and went to a place called Gilgal to make their camp. Gilgal was on the eastern border of Jericho, verse 19, that is the west side of the Jordan again, that is in the promised land. But you need to know what Gilgal means. Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. Isn't that good? The reproach has been rolled away. 40 years of spiritual defeat and failure has been rolled away. And it was the memorial at Gilgal that marked a new beginning, a victory for the children of Israel. Let me ask you this evening, in a very practical sense, this is not complicated theological construct. This is very practical. Let me ask you what rocks of remembrance you have erected in your life, in your home. What can you point to remind you, to remind your children, and certainly as a testimony to the world of the occasions when God has shown himself strong in your life? And dear friends, as I've printed at the top of your notes, the greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. Oh, we won't forget God's word. We carry it with us each week. But often we forget God's works and we forget what he has done among us. Maybe we need some rocks of remembrance in our lives. They can be simple things, but things that will serve as a reminder. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the practical application that we might make as we learn from the life of Joshua and the children of Israel. Lord, we're not sure if Joshua erected one memorial or two memorials. We're not sure of some of those details, but God, we do understand the purpose for them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christian families to not forget the great things you have done among us. But may we be mindful and may we always remember what you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.